A huge shout out of thanks to our major sponsor, Pertec. If you have Pertec on your team, they will never let you down. Visit Pertec at pertec.com.au. And if you're a coach, teacher or trainer across the wide variety of sporting disciplines we have here of listeners on the show, make sure you check out www.catchprobands.com.au. Welcome, team. I'm very excited today to have Liv Higgins. I tell you why, Liv. I'll introduce you a little bit more, but you are just a winner from what I know about you, and we've spoken a bit. To the people that are just tuning in to listen to Liv Higgins, Liv, you've played in 3 NRLW grand finals and 1 or 3.
Yes.
Before that, you played in a couple of grand finals before in the next tier down.
Yeah.
And you won them. All you've ever done is win. So I dare say there's lessons that you could share, but also I'm really interested to hear the lessons you could share on the journey, because what's so interesting to me, and I'm sure people now listening, you only started this career in rugby league at 27 years old. That's crazy. And there's young girls now looking up to you, like there's young girls idolizing you. So there's lessons I'm sure you're going to share that will make an impact on people listening, the type of listeners, just so you know. Mm-hmm. And you're a teacher yourself. A lot of teachers that listen, a lot of coaches that listen, a lot of athletes, and a lot of leaders. So I won't script anything. We'll just talk and just share your journey. And I'm sure there's some little nuggets of gold that come out. So thank you.
No worries. Happy to be here.
Let's talk about the journey then. Can we start at 27, how it happened, and then maybe then we'll go back. But what made you decide to play rugby league at 27?
I had played a few like league tag games with South Newcastle just up the road, and it was, pretty basic. Like I hadn't really played anything prior to that. I did a little bit of touch footy at school, but played a bit of league tag and then got asked to play like for a bit of fun in a nines competition. And that was, I really enjoyed it, but I didn't think anything of it. You know, it was just a bit of fun with some friends. And then from there, I got asked to do a pre-season. It was called CRL Newcastle, which is the equivalent of the Knights team now in the Harvey Norman competition. Yeah. So I went and did a pre-season, and it was, I'd never been, like for me, that was felt really professional. But looking now, having what I've done, it wasn't really at all. But I got to do the pre-season, and I got to play alongside like Holly Wheeler and Hannah Southwell and Isabel Kelly and all these girls. And when I actually looked them up, I was like, oh, they're actually kind of a big deal. Like it was really just bizarre to be there. I started playing and I got picked to play, and I was, just loved it. And that was 27. And I kind of just, started the journey from there. But it's been a whirlwind, to be honest. I feel like a lot has happened since that year.
Wow. Well, well done, because I've read recently you signed a longer term contract. You're in your hometown of the Newcastle Knights. Yeah. You did play in Sydney as well. You played at the Sydney Roosters. What, were you travelling all the way down there and coming home, or you lived in Sydney?
No, so after the season with CRL Newcastle, that club actually folded. So we had no really other option but to all travel, and they started the Central Coast Roosters for the girls.
Okay.
So we started there, and then from there played a year, and then there was COVID, and then we got selected. Well, I got selected to play for the Sydney Roosters, but we would actually carpool down there. So I think it was 3 or 4 times a week because we had to still work our day job.
How were the carpools? Who's in the car?
Carpool. Talk me through this. It was Yasmin, Hannah, Taylor Predaborn, myself and Simone Capani.
What a crew.
It was a good crew. And that's the thing, when we actually, a few of the girls started to sign for the Knights, that was a big thing for us because the carpool got smaller. Yeah. So it was like I didn't want to, drive 3 or 4 times myself. And I knew that, obviously coming back to Newcastle would make life a lot easier.
You must have a crazy ability to learn, like to learn a new sport and learn, like the best players are students of the game for sure. Like you must be, are you?
I do. I think I always want to learn more. Like, I had grown up in a rugby league family and I knew all the rules about footy. But I remember going into league tag and they asked us to do a block. And I was like, what is that? Like, I can only throw a footy. I don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that I am hardworking in that aspect. Like, I love to know more and I always want to get better.
Do you study a lot of film, a lot of video?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest thing. Like, if we play a game, I'd watch it straight away and I'd ask, you know, people to send me through clips and watch. I think that's, for me, as a visual learner, that's how I...
That's how you learn best, visually?
How I get there. Yeah, and I was always like that through school. So I think for me to be able to watch it back, and I think we are quite harsh on ourselves sometimes, but that's also a good thing because, you know, there's always room for improvement, I think.
So when you study film, who would you, I mean, because for the listeners that don't know you, you play in a key position.
Like, yep.
you are very responsible of how your team plays.
Yep.
Now you said you started playing in the halves 1 year, but yeah. Now you're a hooker. Like, yeah. you're an elite level hooker that controls where your team goes.
Yep.
Who did you study? Who did you look up to? Where did you learn this?
Not anyone in like the NRL, but it was my brother actually was a dummy half.
Oh, there you go.
And I used to, from a young age, go and watch him play.
Yeah.
And I loved watching him play. And he was in the system for a little bit at down in Manly and then with the Knights as well. But I just loved watching him because he wasn't the most like naturally gifted player, but he was very hardworking and he trained really hard and he was unlucky not to make it, but I loved watching him play. But growing up, I did really, really love watching Denny Badiris.
Okay.
And even having him at some of our sessions at the Knights, like for me, that's just so cool because I grew up in that. Like, I went to the 2001 grand final watching the Knights boys win. And
you've just giving me a flashback of a nightmare of mine. I worked with the Eels back
then.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, the Knights, fantastic. Denny Badiris, what a great, great man.
Yeah.
And no one better to study.
Yeah.
Like, he was him.
Yeah.
He was the man,
yeah.
You know.
I loved watching, yeah.
And, I mean, the next crop grew up studying him.
Yeah.
And then it became Kem Smith and whatever. But Denny Badiris was, he was him.
Yeah.
And he still is. Like, his little... intricacies that he could teach people in that position is world class. So you're very lucky.
Yeah, he's just a smart footballer too.
Does he know how much you used to idolise him?
I don't know actually, but I think I may
he's
have.
He's a listener. We did an episode with him once. He's
a
listener.
I probably mentioned it once or twice at training, but
yeah,
that's who I grew up watching. Like, but it wasn't. I didn't, you know that I'd play footy and be playing dummy half or anything. I just actually really liked him as a player, and I think what he did off the field too was really, he just seemed very down to earth. So
yeah,
but probably more recently, like, I love watching Harry Grant. Like, I like him as a player, and Reece Robson.
Okay.
So, yeah,
right.
A bit different, but
awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your brother and a work ethic. So there's, and obviously you have a work ethic. Where did that come from?
Just probably my dad.
Yeah.
He's very hardworking. He didn't have a lot growing up and then he's done very well for himself. And he's just always had that mentality that we need to go out and get our own jobs, do everything, you know, ourselves. And he's obviously always been there for us. But, he's just very good in that way. Like, he always wants us to try our best. And
awesome.
He's also very competitive. Like, I think him being so competitive, and even like growing up, like, we'd have cricket games and stuff and he'd bowl us out. I was probably 8 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's put that, like, yeah, I guess he's got that attitude where he loves to win as well, but being humble as well. So
it comes out in you now, you know, like, that's how you now compete.
Yeah.
So it's obviously been a very good influence. What about any other lessons or people? Was there people that, away from rugby league, that you may have followed or inspired you in your life that you could share with us? That come to mind?
Away from rugby league. My pop, definitely.
Yeah.
He was very similar, but he was just a very kind person, very patient person. And
what was the best advice he ever gave you?
I can't actually think of anything. I feel like every conversation you just have with him, he was just so real, like, very honest. But he passed away well, just before actually I started. Oh, I think I was playing in 2019, so the year that I
Right.
started. But he was just always wanted us to try our best. Like there was no, he didn't really care about any result or anything. It was just always to do our best. But I think for him, he was more so focused on just being a good person. Outside of every successful thing that we did, make sure you're a good person.
I don't even know how to get to the next question because, like, just that alone, you know, like I can see that in you too. You know, you've had really good influences. So why don't we even go way back now about any other sports?
Yeah, I actually grew up playing tennis. So that was my
Very
sport
good background.
as a young kid. I
Okay.
gave netball a crack, but I wasn't very good at it. That was probably my sister's sport, Yasmin's sport. But
Right.
yeah, so I played tennis, but I think playing tennis, what it did for me was made me do things on my own. Like you don't have anybody that you can really lean on. You're on the court on your own, and you
Yeah.
have to kind of, if you're not playing well, you have to bring yourself out of that. And
Yeah,
you have
okay.
to, it's kind of one of those sports where there's no time or there's no, you know, the game, you could be winning comfortably and then it can change straight away and you're losing. Like there's
Yeah, okay.
no, you know, the clock that you're versing.
Is that a real mental game?
Yeah, and I think that's something I probably struggled with a little bit growing up. Like my mum and dad used to say it all the time, you need to be like mentally tougher. You need to be able to come back from things like that. Like you lose yourself a little bit. So
Yeah.
that was really good for me playing that. I think I played from like 9 till I was 16.
Good
Good
lessons.
lessons,
Yeah. And then, so you mentioned you like the individual bit, but what do you love now about team sport? What do you love
I
about
just
it?
love being around people. Like I love going to training and being around my friends. And like I say it with Yasmin as well, these friends for me started just as footy friends, and now I've got connections well beyond that.
Yeah.
They're, you know, some of my best friends that I enjoy spending time with outside of footy. But I just love that you can go and share that success with people.
Well, do you know what? I think that's probably why you have success. I don't know how to prove that, but the teams that you play with, you seem so
Connected, yeah.
connected. And you know, you're just saying it very naturally. You love the company of those friends. And it seems like that. Like, I watched you girls win the grand final, not the last one, the one before.
22, yeah.
And that group just seems so close,
Yeah.
you know, so connected. So have you got anything to add to that? Like, do you believe that that's what make good teams?
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to be connected off the field. And I think sometimes people throw around the word culture a little bit, and
Yeah.
but I think to actually want to go to training and hold each other accountable and, you know, have those honest conversations, but know that this is just kind of footy chat. You know, you're going to walk away from that and still be their mate. I think that's really
Yeah.
what creates that, is being able to, yeah, sit as a group and say what went wrong or what we can do better and
Yeah.
go and actually do that.
Okay. To the young girl that's listening,
Yeah.
that find that hard to do, how have you handled, because I love where you're going. I want to hear it all from you and not from what I think about this topic. I love where you're going with it. How do you hold people accountable in that little group? Do you feel that you've become better at it, or just because you're a bit older and more mature, or like let's say you're an 18-year-old girl or 17-year-old girl who are they're all trying to like maybe fit in, like are they going to be courageous enough to hold someone to account? How has that happened in your teams? Because you girls do it really well.
Yeah, I think initially I'm probably not one of the most vocal in our team by any means. Like I am somebody that will sit back a little bit and listen to what, you know, our leaders and people have to say. But I think as a young girl, and like being able to have that conversation just to understand why the conversation's being had, like it's
Yeah.
not, you know, to bring you down or to make you feel like you're not as good as anybody else. It's actually to make us better as a squad and as a team. And everybody wants you to play. And they want
Yeah.
you to be at the best that you can be. So I think just taking it on board is not an insult, but a way that you can be better and improve. Because at the end of the day, like we want our young girls to come through and still maintain what we've created there.
Yeah.
So I think just not taking everything so personal. And it's the same on the field. Like if someone says something to you on the field and it's in, you know, it's upset you or it's insulted you, then yeah, have a conversation about it. But that's footy. Like
Yeah.
that just happens. And you have to be able to like brush that off and just think, okay, It happened, like, whatever.
Okay. Because, I mean, we're talking about girls, but some boys can't handle that. Mm. Like, Yasmin Clydesdale sprays you mid-game.
It's happened.
It's happened. Yeah. That's why I mentioned her. Yeah. I'm guessing it's happened. Or at training, has it ever upset you that you go home and you're still upset about it? Or are you really capable of saying, that's just footy, we're best friends now?
Yeah, I definitely would not go off and have, you know, to be honest, like, she's saying that because she cares about me as a player.
That's the bit.
She's saying that in the heat of the moment.
She wants to make you better.
She wants me to be better. She wants me to get picked in all these teams. Yeah. She wants me to be the best teammate that I possibly can be. So if she has to spray me, so be it. I probably need it. I'm tired. Like, that's fine. I'm not going to walk away and be upset that she did that.
Did you ever listen? I did an episode with Hannah Southwell.
Oh, yeah.
She tells a funny story. Where
she had to go into dummy half,
your position, and because you were injured or something, and the girls weren't playing the ball properly. And if they don't play the ball properly, it makes it hard for her to pick the ball. Is that right? So, story goes, she basically said, if you don't get your fundamentals right and you don't know how to play the ball, you might as well leave. So, she's pretty stern with her messages.
Yeah.
Have you ever copped one off her?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, you handle
quite
it well.
A lot. Yeah, quite a lot. She loves a spray, Hannah.
But she's
just saying the truth. Yeah. Like,
another winner.
Yeah, particularly with the fundamental stuff. Like, get it right. That's the simple stuff. Yeah. If you can't handle that, then, leave.
Yeah.
Seriously, though. Like, and Hannah's good because you can spray her and she'll cop it as well.
Yeah.
But, that I do remember that session. She actually left and didn't have breakfast with anyone. Like, she was that filthy. I remember messaging her, like, where are you? She's like, I don't want to be
I'm
around anyone.
Home. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And talk to me about Ronald Griffiths. He had some great success with you girls. I know he's big on the – I'm not sure how much he's big on the X's and O's compared to he loves the connection bit and the – the rules keeps things nice and simple. Is that right? I mean, I've worked with Ronald with his Indigenous team, and I definitely those camps are all about connection and values and things compared to X's and O's.
Yeah.
Was that what he was like with the girls?
Yeah, as far as, like, for me, with all the coaches I've had, he focused a lot on the off-field things and connecting us that way. But we were, that year that we come in 2022, like, barely any of us, other than us five girls at Roosters, we hadn't really played with one another.
Together.
Like, I'd actually never met Millie or Tamika or anyone like that. So he had a huge emphasis on making sure that we were very connected off the field. And it was good. He did things that were different. And some things worked, some things didn't. But I think that was probably a learning thing for him as well. But he was very good, as in I personally felt like I could have a chat to him about anything. And he was very honest as well with feedback and
That's great to hear. We did an episode with him as well, and he very clearly values that is the most important part to winning over there's other people that might be more into the detail side, or everyone has their different styles and beliefs, but I felt he was so strong in his belief that stuff wins and you can't argue with it because you won.
That's right.
2 years in a row with him. So you can't argue like it actually wins. So that's cool to hear from you.
Yeah, he was good. He was very, very emotional, I thought.
In
like a different way. I don't really know, like, passionate, but then he wouldn't say a lot of words sometimes, but you always knew what he was thinking.
Okay.
And you didn't want to let him down in that regard.
Yeah.
But for me personally, as a player, he challenged me to be a lot better in effort areas and things that...
Yeah.
Obviously win us games, but just stuff that I'd focus more on the skill element in previous years rather than these little things that make a team great. So
great to hear.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of players' names just sort of pop up there. Who's the best leaders you've played with and why? What do you love about them?
Yasmin would actually be one of the best. I think because she leads by example on the field. Just very Not too vocal. I think she doesn't just speak for the sake of it either. But
Yeah.
if you were to watch her game back, she does so much off the ball that people probably wouldn't realize. But I know as her teammate, yeah, definitely
Yeah.
can see that. I did enjoy as well playing with Isabel Kelly when she kind of, I think, was our captain there for a little while. She's
Yeah.
quite the same, leads by example. But I think just at Newcastle, we have like a lot of girls that are. Just step up when they have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's quite a lot.
Can you talk to me a little bit now about your other side of your life, the teaching? What do you love about teaching? There's a lot of teachers that listen.
I think I just love going and every day is different and just seeing how many I just love being around the kids and it sounds a bit cliche, but they actually just bring so much joy. And some days are you want to kill them, like you're so annoyed, and I remember one game we lost to the Cowboys,
Yeah.
and Yazzie and I went into work, and they'd made cowboy signs, and like just little things, like they just, but that's just their way of, communicating with us and knowing that
Yeah.
we have that relationship. But I think I just like being able to be part of their lives as well, and
I love hearing that, like I can feel it, how much you love it. Like if I had a choice where I put my kids in the care of people, teachers or whatever, I'd love to know that that person actually loves their work. You know, like I've spoke to you about it before and I had to ask you here while we record, like that has such an impact on the kids. Do you realize how much power you have in their life? Like not power, but how much influence you have in their life by turning up with an attitude of you love it?
Yeah, I think sometimes I probably don't think about it enough, but I think that's it. Like I actually just enjoy going into it because I love sport and I love PE. And there's so many kids that haven't had the opportunity to play that much sport or they don't do it outside of school. And to see them start from basically scratch to then be begging us to go outside and do sport, I think
Yeah,
seeing
that's
that
cool.
progression is really rewarding.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, I don't really think about it too much because I think I enjoy it a lot,
Yeah.
but and the kids don't always say, what they're thinking or feeling in regards to us either. Like it's pretty cool though to go to games and you see your students there and they're all watching and then they come in and talk about it and then
Yeah.
I really like that. But yeah, I think I don't really think about it too much. I just actually just love teaching.
Yeah, okay. Well, I personally think one day you'll be coaching.
Yeah,
I
hopefully.
actually like, well, you already mentor kids, you're already a PE teacher, you're already a three-time premiership player, and there's more to come. So for me, I think it's like in you. Like if I could put someone in your care for you to coach them, plus you're such a student of the game, we've already worked that out. Can I be your manager and we get your head coach job? Because I think you will be a coach one day just from this little chat. And there's a lot of coaches listening that will be learning little bits of advice there that's just come out very naturally. But if I had to ask you to give a junior coach some advice who's coaching kids right now, and even give a junior player, let's say a young girl who's trying to follow in your footsteps, let's give, oh, and actually give the parent some advice too. Because, yeah, there's another episode there about parents.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to go give a coach some advice, give the athlete some advice, and give a parent some advice. Let's go.
Okay, so a junior coach, just learn your players. Like some people respond better to criticism. Well, not criticism, but some people can handle that.
Yeah.
But then know when to build your players up. Like give them some sort of positive reinforcement after potentially that you've said something negative. I know for Ronnie, he actually asked us all how we like to have our feedback, like whether we prefer it to be, quite
Okay.
straight to the point or if we,
Yeah.
little things like that. But yeah, I think because I haven't done a lot of coaching myself, that's a bit of a tough one. But just, learning your players and giving them the opportunity to play a lot of different positions, like we spoke about before,
Yeah.
just so that they can get into other environments and rep teams and things and know what they're doing and just be adaptable.
Yeah.
I think for junior girls coming through, just to be patient, like trust the process. Like I was 27 and I didn't think, you know, that this would ever happen. But I didn't get into the NRLW straight away either. I had to play 2 years, which looking back, such a small amount of time.
Yeah.
So just be patient. You're not going to necessarily turn 18, 19 and get the contract that you expect or that you want.
Yeah.
I think that's really important because your opportunity will come if you work hard.
Yeah.
And for parents, just to let the kids play, like just jump into every position and enjoy it. And I think for us, we've been so successful because we love playing it. Yeah, there's pressure and pressure can be a privilege or is a privilege, but there's also, you know, you've got to have the element when you're coming through and young to be able to enjoy it, to go to training and love being with your friends. And if you lose, so be it. But what did you learn from the game?
Yes. Can you come on this show regularly? Can you start your own podcast?
I think you should.
I think you should, because even when you just went into, oh, I haven't really coached, I don't really have. But you did, like you had advice from, you thought about one of the best pieces of advice a coach gave you.
Yeah.
He worked out how you needed it and you just gave us that answer. You're a freak at this. You should do something in media too. Okay, we're going to finish with a supporter of the show, brand called Athlete, want to give $3,000 worth of product to a local club and $500 in cash. You have to choose. So Athlete, is like recovery style products, massage guns, creams, all that recovery bath salts, all the
necessities.
Recovery necessities, which yeah. You'll be delivered a nice little package. But $3,000 to a club and 500 cash. They can spend it however they want, equipment, whatever. Where are we going?
Raymond Terrace Roosters. Yeah, they've got such a haven there for young kids coming through, and they're really passionate about their girls program too, and there's a lot of girls coming through that play in the Tasha Gale and the Lisa Fiola, so I think they'd use it very, very wisely, and they're a great little community.
Awesome. Raymond Terrace Roosters will be in touch. Yeah. Well, thanks so much.
No, thank you. It's awesome. Been good.
Thank you.
Thank you.